Yeah, I'm ready. Cool.
Pull up a chair and sit down with a bottle of bourbon. We'll play some five card stud tonight. You lay down your Jesus, Andy. I'll put on my wife. No one knows how far we'll take it tonight.
Everybody, welcome to Demo Mirror. This is Matt, and I'm here with Charles Murphy. We just heard a song called Slow Finger by Kenneth Noisewater. How you doing, Charles?
I'm pretty good. How are you?
Pretty good.
Excellent.
So what's the deal with this song?
Background. The song was recorded at the New England Institute of Art, primarily in Studio B, as a final project that I had to do for an advanced recording class. I can't remember the exact name, but whatever. So basically, what I did was I had a bunch of friends who went to Berkeley, Steve Foster and Eddie Duquesne among them, and I booked some studio time, and I just asked if they wanted to come and basically just kind of, you know, dick around in the studio while I recorded it, and we'd eventually get a song or whatever. So Eddie came in, and we spent like 6 hours one day, and I just recorded like a lot of different just kind of riffs that he was doing, and then we picked one that we liked more than the others, and we started doing overdubs over it. And then we brought Steve in on another day, and he banged out the drums in probably like one or two takes. And then we had to wait for like another, you know, studio time, and it was like a precious commodity at that school. So
right.
I had to do everything in kind of a disjointed way. But a couple weeks later, we went back in to do the vocals. I had to get actually a friend of mine, Chris Brown, to help me record the vocals because, you know, I was going to be in the live room singing. And so what we ended up doing is I set up everything for the vocals, and then would go inside, and Chris was, I guess, acting as, like, the producer. So maybe we should give him a little credit on that, too.
Cool.
And that was it. And then after we recorded it, just mixed it in various locations around the school, I suppose. And I think I actually got, like, I got a C+ on it.
C+?
Yeah, and then I had to take
It sounds good.
Yeah, I liked it, too, but, you know, I guess it wasn't cool. So, and actually, that's not a passing grade for that class. So I had to take it again.
No. That's awful.
Yeah, it sucked.
So why'd you get a C+? What were the reasons for that one?
I think it's just the way it was recorded. Like, he just didn't like the sounds, I guess, or maybe I didn't meet some of the requirements for like what it was supposed to sound like. I can't really remember. It's been sort of like a technical take on a personal taste disagreement.
Mm-hmm.
I think I didn't really record it very well, but I think I mixed it pretty well for like what it was and like refine the sound into what it sounds like now anyway.
Well, I would give it a higher grade than a C+. I think it sounds pretty good. So
thanks.
So the song itself then, it sounds like it was sort of written like on the fly sort of, or was it pre-written before you even went into the studio, or how did that go down?
The main riff, like the guitar line, is just something Eddie had been kind of kicking around for a while. I like heard it a couple of times, just us hanging out with guitars. But you know, as far as like the bass line and the drums and the vocals, that was all just kind of done spur of the moment right there in the studio. So yeah, the lyrics are kind of funny because my Chris Brown, the guy who helped me, he actually really likes that song, and he asks me every couple of years what I'm singing, and I don't know.
Really?
Yeah, I know like a couple of the the phrases, because like it just got stuck in my head, but like everything else is...
Did you just sort of like get into the booth and just go for it, like stream of consciousness style, or at the time did you have something written out, or...
No, I actually the vocals that you hear are a combination of like 5 or 6 different takes that I did, and just kind of like picked and choose. I was choosing what sounded better sonically as opposed to like lyrically.
Oh, okay.
And so like kind of at the end of the song, you can kind of hear like I'm saying something and then it fades out, and then like it comes back in with another like tonal quality.
Oh, okay.
And that was one of those things where like I forget why I had to fade out the one that was kind of more predominant in the mix, but here we go. There's also actually, if I can point out, there's a point in the song where like there's this kind of odd like distortion, and that was because,
on your vocals, right?
Yeah, it kind of did like a. That's actually it was recorded on the Super 8 tapes, and the machines at the school were super shitty, like hadn't been cleaned or like I don't know. I had so many of my tapes eaten by those machines.
Really?
And that's actually what was happening. Like I had to stop mixing at that point because the bed tracks were gone. And that's what that noise is the tape being eaten.
Wow, that's crazy.
the origin of the name Kenneth Noisewater is actually from Anchorman the movie.
Okay.
I didn't realize at the time. I thought Eddie was just being really clever. And then, you know, after the whole thing was over and done with, and like for several months, we watched Anchorman. And Paul Rudd's, like early in the movie, Paul Rudd is at a party. He's talking to some chicks, and he introduces his testicles. And the right one is Dr. Kenneth Noisewater. I remember I actually got kind of pissed off at Eddie because I was like, oh, what the fuck, man? Like, you're fucking using a line from Anchorman to name our fake band that we didn't really do anything with.
That's cool. That's a cool story. So you're like coming from a more like recording end more so. Like, are you a songwriter? Would you consider yourself a songwriter as well?
I do write songs. I'm for myself. I usually work better as like a collaborative effort, I guess. I work better with other people anyway. But I write songs on my own too.
Like guitar and vocals, or is that the weapons of choice?
Yeah. More often than not, when I'm writing songs like just by myself and recording them, I'm actually doing all of the instrumentation. Drums, I have like a program, just like a drum machine that on my computer that I can program to do that. But ultimately, I'd like to record the drums live with either myself or a better drummer playing. But I'm getting better at the drums, so hopefully we'll. But when I write with other people, I'm usually taking over just one or two aspects of the song itself.
When you actually write, just generally speaking, not necessarily with this song or anything like that, maybe like when you're on your own, how does the recording end of it influence you? Like, because I know you're coming from like a recording standpoint a lot of times as an engineer, and like I just wondered if they ever like, you know, integrate poorly.
I think certainly for songs that I had the idea that like I wanted to do everything and just record myself, it keeps them short, because I find like having to record myself doing songs that I've written and are like kind of piecing together is very tedious. Like, I don't really like having to do everything, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So definitely it makes the process, I think I write very short songs, and then also usually when I'm writing songs, like it'll start off as a concept of just like a couple of different riffs or like a certain chord progression, and as I'm recording it, I'll realize that like, oh, this would sound kind of cool, and like I'll layer some stuff in, and oftentimes I can even just push it in a different direction than I'd originally sort of conceived of.
Right.
But as far as like lyrical content, it's basically the same deal, where I'm really just listening for sort of sonic and tonal qualities as opposed to like inherent meaning.
Mm-hmm.
And usually I write really crap poetry, so it's like I'm usually just telling a story that I find amusing, or mm-hmm. you know, trying to say something that I think is funny but sounds maybe kind of serious too.
So do you have any outlet for that sort of stuff, or are you stockpiling them, or have any plans?
I've got an EP that's sort of mostly done, I guess. I've got like 3 songs, the basics are in the can, and I'm just kind of still in the toying around with them phase. And I don't know, I've been with my roommate Joe and Matt G from Lights fame and now Hollow You the Hills.
Mm-hmm.
We were doing this thing for a while that I think we were going to call a Style Eater, but we've kind of gotten derailed with everybody like on these other bands that are doing stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see what happens with that in the future, but I think we had something cool going on.
Cool. What's the sound like this demo, or is it
it
like?
It's I'd say kind of like aggressive and weird pop music.
Cool. It sounded pretty cool. Any band you could name drop or anything to give an idea? Or?
I know I was personally drawing heavily upon Brian Jonestown Massacre.
Okay, cool.
And Drive Like Jehu was kind of like awesome. The inspiration that I saw going into the band as far as what the other guys thought.
Well, I also wanted to ask you, I don't know if I'll use this in the actual, like when I release it, but my personal history with you is you recorded a bunch of stuff for my old band, Lights.
Mm-hmm.
And how was that, what was it like for you? I know what it was like for me.
Yeah.
And just tell me what it was like for you.
I had a blast, you know. I
just like to maybe preface, like right when we broke up, we decided to have Charles do a recording marathon session. We like did it, I think, in a weekend, the basic tracking in a weekend, and we did, I don't know how many songs it was, like 20-ish or so? Or
yeah, it was like 21.
Yeah, it was all the songs that we'd written but hadn't released, so Charles was the head of that project. So I cut you off, so
no,
what
cool.
was your
it was a lot of fun. It was definitely kind of frantic, and going into it, I thought that I had some sort of a plan on like what was going to happen, but I guess I did in terms of like setting things up and like the actual technical aspects of it, but like just the dynamics of trying to record all these songs in like 2 days was harried and weird. And then, you know, like, it's Andy's grandparents' old house, and it was really cold.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, you know, it was like, oh yeah, I forgot, like, to like stay in this creepy old house like by myself and sleep on like a chair in the living room. I didn't bring like any blankets or anything, so it was just kind of like, oh, great. And but it worked out pretty well, I think. And got most of the overdubs done. I guess the only real regret I have is, like, we were working for a while, and I guess in the back of my mind I had some, like, vague hope that Lights was going to get back together, and, like, we could, like, release it and it'd be cool, which, you know, didn't end up happening. And then I think the final straw was, like, you know, Andy not coming in for a lot of overdubs, and then I was kind of like, well, screw it, I'll mix what I got. And then, you know, you guys were going to do that reunion show, I guess, at TT's. Then that just sort of fell through. And right. At that point, that's when I was like, almost done with Ramadan. And I was like, eh. What's the point anymore?
Yeah.
But I actually have several of those songs mixed and I guess in like an album form-ish.
Cool.
So
awesome.
I'll definitely burn you a CD when we're done here.
Okay, cool. Going off of that, what is your experience like being an engineer? Are you more like inspired just watching a band do their thing? Like, does that inspire you in some way, or does it?
Yeah.
Are you happy to sort of just be the engineer? I'm sure you are because you do it.
Yeah.
You know. But.
Yeah. I'd say generally speaking, I'd more often rather be behind the board than on the stage, you know, so to speak. Certainly not true for all things, but. Yeah, I mean, when I was, like, a teenager, my dream job was, like, music journalist, not particularly because I wanted to write, but because I wanted to get paid to go to shows and, mm-hmm. like, see bands play, like, and I started playing guitar and stuff because I just wanted to be, like, part of that whole scene. And you know, that's actually why I started getting into engineering, too, was just because I, more than, like, wanting to make records, like, I really wanted to be part of, like, a live performance sort of world, I guess. And, you know, playing guitar is definitely really fun for me also, and I like doing that a lot, but I guess I like sort of control freak, you know, I like to control the way everything sounds.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I guess in a roundabout way I'm saying, yeah, I definitely get inspired by watching other musicians kind of get up and do their thing. So.
Cool. All right. Well, did you have anything else to say about that song in particular or anything else in general? Or?
It's a funny thing. I never really liked the song in particular, I guess. I just mainly from mixing it and like getting frustrated with everything getting eaten. But all my friends seemed to love it. And so that kind of like drove me crazy even more. And like I'd completely forgot about it for several years until you actually asked me if I had any demos. And I was like, you know, I had like the bed tracks for the stuff I've been working on. I was like, I don't really want to. And then I kind of remembered. I was like, oh yeah, I did this a long time ago. So
mm-hmm.
I guess
cool.
Thanks for resurrecting Kenneth Noisewater.
Oh yeah, totally. Thanks for sharing it with us. It's sweet song. So well, thanks for everything.
Yeah.
And we'll check you later.
Cool, thanks,
bye.